This episode was created on unceded Coast Salish territories of the Lekwungen and Wissanic people. CFUV has been around for over 30 years. In that time, we have worked with many radio hosts, all with their own unique experiences and stories. I'm setting out to find how CFUV has affected its community and to get an inside story on CFUV's DJs. I'm Max Monday, and this is Behind the Mic.
My name is Tricia House, and I have my worldwide wanderings, and I do interviews. That's part of my show. It's my pleasure to introduce Daphne today, and I wanted to have a lovely conversation with Daphne because we had the most wonderful conversation about earrings. I think the best conversation about earrings I've ever had. Daphne came to know CFUV through her studies, not at the University of Victoria, but at Camosun College. So who introduced you to CFUV?
A little bird. No, actually, a woman named Robin, who used to work here and was in charge of Women on Air.
I worked with Robin.
Yes.
Yes. Perhaps we should say who Robin was.
Yeah.
She was the Women on Air coordinator.
Yes, she was.
And then after that term of office finished, she came back and was the main person for the Cross Canada Community Radio Conference mm-hmm. they had here. Wonderful, fascinating person.
Yeah, Robin is amazing. So basically, I was at Camosun at the time. This was prior to me attending UVic. And I was doing upgrading and stuff at Camosun because I never went to high school. So I had to get all my ducks in a row, eggs in a basket.
Right.
And before I came up to UVic to start my first degree. And one of the people that I was introduced to through the pre-med club at Camosun was Mindy Jiang. And she suggested that I come up here and do the training to get onto the Women on Air through CFUV because I was doing a lot of speaking at social justice events and I was doing some lectures and workshops around social justice issues facing the trans and queer community. And she said, oh, you know, you're so well spoken, you should manifest that on air.
Yes.
And so I came up and I saw Robin and they had some openings and they had some opportunities for volunteers. And Robin really put me through everything that needed to be done to be on air. And then I was hosting a big broadcast and Robin had interviewed me actually prior to me volunteering at that point. And it was amazing. And I got hooked on radio, something that I had never really occurred to me because I only really thought of radio in that really kind of corporate top 40, which was just isn't my thing, you know, so I was not big into even listening to the radio at that point.
After hosting the big broadcast for some time, Daphne submitted a proposal for her current show, Breaking Binary. I'm a boss ass bitch, 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 bitch,
bitch, bitch, bitch, I'm a boss ass bitch, bitch, bitch. Basically, it's a stream of consciousness show, so we don't plan or script anything. I have a co-host named Arcade Pallet who hosts with me, who's a professional dinosaur. And yeah, we have unscripted show. We go into the studio and pretty much 5 minutes beforehand, we go, what are we going to talk about today? And we brainstorm a couple ideas and then we go in and we just stream of consciousness all the way. Even down to our music picks, we don't really talk about anything prior to the show. And I find that that's a really kind of, I've always wanted to stick with that kind of presentation. I'm glad I don't belong to an organization that's going to want like scripted, pre-recorded, edited kind of material because that's just not who I am. I do the best when I'm doing stream of consciousness. It's the, kind of the same reason why stand-up comedy is so hard for me. People are always telling me you're hilarious, but I'm hilarious in the context of talking to people in a
yes.
live conversation. Doing stand-up was a whole other world for me. But back to Breaking Binary, it's basically a show that is unscripted and about a lot of the social injustices that are going on today. And we talk about a lot of the issues that we feel are important going on in society, either at the university in Victoria, provincially, regionally, globally, whatever.
Breaking Binary focuses not just on trans issues, but on issues faced by marginalized people in the Victoria community and beyond. My vagina, hardly
even used. There's a lot of communities out there that are, well, I think first, let's kind of sort out marginalization. You know, within the context of the culture here on the West Coast and in Canada, there's a hegemonic archetype, and that's just a fancy way of saying that there's like a stereotype that we usually think of that pops into people's heads when we say certain things. And so when we say Canadian, it's probably a white man wearing a toque who plays hockey and drinks beer, you know. And Canada is not made up of white hockey playing men who
no,
drink beer.
No, I played squash and rode horses.
Canada's made up of a fairly diverse group of people. But these stereotypes, they cast groups, they cast people, individuals, into these larger groups. And then with those groups comes privileges or lack of privileges. And there's a lot of negative stereotypes. You know, like, for instance, the queer populations typically have a negative stereotype attached to them as being perverted or hypersexual or, you know, all these other things, you know. And then there's communities of color that have equally as much a kind of negative kind of attributes that are automatically given to an individual based on their perceived identities by other people, right? And that creates a system of marginalization, that creates a system of imbalance, and that manifests into a system of injustice within our society. So focusing on marginalized voices is part of what Breaking Binary does, because we hope that we can provide a venue for, we can provide a stage for people that don't usually have the ability to have a voice, to have a voice.
What is so important about CFUV then?
After kind of discovering CFUV and discovering the content and the ideals of the station and other similar kind of university and not-for-profit radio stations across Canada and abroad, I think I rediscovered radio for myself and became a huge fan of the opportunities that it gives to community members and to people who otherwise I don't think would have the opportunity to have a voice. I wish we could
run away. What quality or qualities are necessary did you discover to bring to this?
At first I didn't really think about it. I just came on air and I talked about stuff. And then through getting some feedback from people that I knew, I discovered rather quickly that there was a responsibility to being on air. Because, you know, I kept thinking about it and thinking and listening to my own show. Like, I was listening to my own show and I was thinking, how could I improve that? Or sometimes I would even say something and I'd be like, oh, like, I can't believe I said that without a preamble or something like that, you know. So I thought about it and I thought, you know, there's a responsibility to being on air. And I thought there's responsibility in the way that it's a one-sided conversation. You're talking to people that have no opportunity to reciprocate, to respond. And sometimes you might even be talking to a captive audience, an audience that, you know, I've worked in the lower paid wage earner, you know, retail spaces and stuff like that. And you're listening to radio or the, you know, the company has the station turned on and you don't have any choice but to listen to it. So, you know, understanding all the different kinds of, I guess, having a degree of empathy with the listener, and understanding, like, they might be in their car, they might be at work, they might be at home, they might be listening deliberately, they might be a passive audience. And understanding, I think, that even though there's no immediate reciprocity, there is a relationship with the listener.
How about accountability?
And that too. Yeah, being accountable to your audience. I always try to make it clear, for instance, that I'm talking about my own personal views, my own personal opinions. I try not to speak in blanket statements. Like, I try not, certainly not to say, like, we believe this. I always talk about, like, I think this and I think that. And I want, and I always make that extra clear, like, this is what I'm thinking about this situation. This isn't necessarily the reality of the situation, but this is my view of the reality of the situation, right? And I think that's an important distinction to make, because a lot of news outlets, especially, but a lot of media that has a larger venue, like such as radio and television, stuff like that, often presents things as a reality rather than as a version of a reality.
Step right up, folks! Anarchy for sale!
Let's go back to your show for a moment.
Sure.
You don't always do this show on your own.
No, no. I have a co-host, Arcade, who originally I did the show on my own. I did the show on my own for probably, I think, about almost a year. And it was really hard. Like, I didn't, when I put the show proposal in, I was really excited to get my own show. And I thought, I'm just going to come in, I'm going to do a show, and it's going to be awesome. And then, of course, like, even though I don't do a scripted thing, it's work, it's time, it's commitment, right? And you have to be there weekly to come and do it. And so I wanted to do an episode on video games. This was during Gamergate. There was basically some women that were involved in the gaming industry that were critiquing the gaming industry, and they got pretty slayed online by a bunch of bros that really exerting masculine patriarchal culture and making all these lewd comments and really proving that there was a huge gender divide and a huge kind of injustice going on within the gaming industry. And I wanted to talk about gaming, and I knew a couple of people that were really into video gaming. I'm not that into video gaming. I'm into computers, but in a different way. And so Arcade was my source, and I said, hey, do you want to come on air and talk about video games? And Arcade was excited to come on air and came onto the show, and we talked for an hour about what was going on in the gaming industry, about archetypes in the gaming industry, about where was the gaming industry headed with gender and with queer, identities and stuff like that. And we talked about old games that had genderqueer identities, like Metroid and stuff like that. And then I said to Arcade, I said, you can come on anytime. Like, that was awesome. And Arcade came back, I think, 2 weeks after that, and then every week after that. And then it got to the point where Arcade was on air so many times, Johnny was like, you have to get your on-air training if you want to keep coming on the show. So yeah, Arcade now has all their training and has also, just like me, kind of has fallen in love with community radio.
Seeing me in smiles and hearts that are things that tear us all apart.
Your show is predominantly a talk show,
yes,
but you do include music.
Once in a while.
So yes. What kind of music would you include?
I generally like to talk.
I've got that.
Yeah, no, we do include music. We like to play a variety. We like to try and find artists that either we really enjoy listening to or artists that are kind of talking about the things that we like to talk about, social justice issues and so on, or artists that fit within the kind of groups that we really want to give a voice to, which is queer, which is racialized, which is indigenous and stuff like that. And actually, I just interviewed a group called LOL from Toronto that's a really fantastic queer POC group. And so that's the type of music that we like to invest in our show.
What is important to you about CFUV that you've discovered while being here?
Mostly the FU in the middle, but no.
I hope not.
The important thing, well, I hope that this station continues to thrive. I think it's an amazing place where different kind of members from the community can get together that wouldn't generally kind of co-mingle, and it's also, I think, like I said, a place that provides voice for people that wouldn't regularly have the opportunity to have a voice and to reach an audience that would be inaccessible as well, or inaccessible in many ways. Because one of the things I found about when I do workshops, when I do lectures and stuff like that, it's advertised as being, oh, I'm doing a lecture on trans identities or on tranny cyborgs or whatever. And people that see those posters go, oh, I'm interested in tranny cyborgs. And then they come out and they come to the workshop. The thing with radio is the listening population of the radio is not necessarily tuning in specifically to listen to the thing that you're advertising that you're going to be talking about. They're passive listeners, and there's listeners that are kind of engaging in the material that you wouldn't regularly have access to. And I think that's a vital point to make, because radio is, as a social justice platform, a great way to get a message out to those ears that wouldn't regularly be maybe in the place to hear the things that you would have to say.
Well, I think we need to come to a close, but in doing that, is there anything that you'd like to add to this interesting interview we've had?
Space monkey candy bars.
Thank you, Daphne, very much.
You're welcome.
This episode of Behind the Mic, which was curated by Trish, included a conversation with Daphne, co-host of Breaking Binary, which airs on Tuesdays from 4 to 5 p.m. For more episodes of Behind the Mic, check out your favorite podcast provider or visit soundcloud.com/CFUV.